broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
According to that ever-so-trusted source of factual information, Wikipedia, Enrico Colantoni is a Canadian actor, probably best known for portraying Elliot DeMauro in the sitcom Just Shoot Me, Keith Mars on the television series Veronica Mars, Sergeant Greg Parker on the television series Flashpoint. He's also had supporting roles in The Wrong Guy, Galaxy Quest, AI Artificial Intelligence, Contagion, guest appearances on Monk, Numbers, Stargate SG-1, Bones. But, folks, many of you don't realize that his greatest role was when he portrayed the man who took care of, babysat, you might say, and then married Celine Dion. Ladies and gentlemen, Renee is on the phone with us. Hello, Renee.
That's horrible. That started off as the greatest introduction ever, and then
just went south.
It just, you know, I'm not humiliated by that whole experience. I thought it was a lot of fun, but I'd moved to the United States, so I really did. You know, Celine Dion to me was the lady who sang the theme to Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I missed the whole Celine Dion revolution when I was in Canada.
Well, you're a blessed man. Dude, what are you doing these days? And please don't tell me that since Flashpoint, your career has been a colossal failure. Because after all, it ain't that hot in Cleveland. And being a global success might just be the remedy. You know, come on, Rico. It's your turn.
Clever, Drew.
Thank you.
Clever.
Thank
yeah, you. No. It's been, it's been busy. I don't know if it's, you know, done anything for my career, per se. It's just kept me working. I think there's a difference, right? You still have to go out there and, but I think the one role that actually saved my career was Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Would you quiet yeah! over there? What is wrong with you? His mic's
and
not
I only
on.
Say that because everybody references it.
Yeah.
So for a few years after it came out, I'd meet so many of these cool filmmakers and stuff, but somehow they felt like somehow I was gonna do something as interesting, and I was like, I don't know, I played an alien. It starts with that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I can make this character any more interesting than it already is, but I played an alien. It was fun.
Do you have, you know, when people spot you, do you have people come up to you and say, hey, do that guy?
Yeah. Do they ask me to act for them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Do they say, you know, do that voice, do that, you know, do they ask
no.
you?
No, they don't.
Yeah, good. Do you hear that, Tim? Only weird people do that.
Yeah, but I'm a weird guy. You hired me.
Yeah, you know, Tim, I don't take it personal.
It's all good.
Flattered by it, but I usually say no.
Yeah, I've got a 14-year-old daughter. Trust me, I've been called worse.
See, for a 14-year-old, I would.
Yeah.
Okay, let me call her up.
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Easy. For the youngins, yeah.
What is the thing you're excited about the most? I mean, you do have, you know, a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak. So what are you the most stoked about? You have to pick the child you love the most right now, far as your career is concerned.
Where I want to go. The future, I guess.
Right.
Coming back home to do Flashpoint was more than just a job. It was coming home in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but hold on. Does that mean... Well, let me give you an example. I moved my family to Australia for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they were just about to start high school, and we had to make a decision. Were we going to have them go through high school there, or were we going to move home and have them go through high school? Because I didn't want to have to move them in the middle of high school, because that's, you know, they're weird enough in high school. You don't want to screw with them socially, right?
Yeah.
So now that you're here, because you got a kid in high school, man.
I know. And you know what? That's probably the toughest thing. Is that they're still in L.A. I'm divorced from their mom,
mm-hmm.
but we're still essentially co-parenting. But it's hard to do once, you know, when you need to keep putting food on the table.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm justifying it or qualifying it, but I was an actor before they were born. It was something that I followed. It was in my heart. I needed to do it. And, you know, I don't know if they necessarily signed up for it, but part of me putting my hand up when I said I wanted to do this was its unpredictability.
Yeah.
Where it would take me, there's actually a 13-year-old too now, and she just turned 13, and it was the first time I couldn't be there for her birthday.
Oh, that sucks.
Really, really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. It was hard enough for me, but when they start going, why did you choose that over me?
Jeez, I'm so glad I brought this up.
Yeah, you know.
Jeez.
But at the same time, I have to remind myself that these are choices that I made.
Yeah.
These are consequences that I'm going to have to live with. I'm not going anywhere. I haven't abandoned them. I love them. They know I'm present. I see them when I can. They come here when they can. It's a little unorthodox, a little untraditional, but I think the choice to keep them in one place and not have them move around was probably the best choice we could have made. Then.
Yeah, well, you know, at the risk of reaching for a justification, I think the kids can sniff authenticity, and it doesn't have anything to do with whether you live in the same building or not. I mean, how many families are out there where, you know, we live in the same building and we don't give a holy grunt about our kids?
Yeah.
So forget that stuff.
It's true. It's quality and not the quantity of time.
How many children do you actually have? Four, six, eight,
12? I have two biological and two stepkids.
Okay.
And the stepkids live here with me in Toronto because I remarried, but I married a woman that I'd known for 30 years.
Oh.
And that seemed right.
Is this a Facebook story? Or hold on.
Is it
Christian Mingle?
Like it.
No.
The first time I got married in a Catholic church. I'd been married once before, but not in a church, and this time seemed right to be married in a church.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where was the wedding?
The first time was at the airport. Because we had met at the airport, right?
Oh, okay, all right.
We'd met at the airport 30 years ago. We'd re-met at the airport 5 years ago. And so there's a little chapel, and we wanted to do it on November 11th, 2011.
Oh.
And apparently everybody wanted to get married on that day. So the church we wanted to get married to was full.
Right.
The paperwork, oh, my God, the red tape to get married in the Catholic Church is less like, whoa, really? So we did it anyway. We did it on the QT in a little chapel, and then almost a year later, we did it. We did it with a priest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't
that what we're going to talk about? Isn't that it? Isn't that why I'm here?
Oh man, you're killing me.
Yeah.
The son that you named after Jean Gomeshi.
Who?
Q. Right.
Quinton, yeah. Quinton.
Don't you call him Q? Isn't that your kind of hip dad name?
I call him Q, but he's 16 now, and he's just Quinton now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, or dude, or
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah.
Q.
What's your face?
Yeah, hey, man.
Yeah.
My daughter I'll still call Goon.
Okay. That's funny. I got a daughter I call Goose.
And someone else tried to call her Goon, and she said no.
No.
No, only dad calls me Goon.
Yep.
I was like, cool, that's my name.
How many cop shows have you done?
Counting the episodes of Flashpoint?
Yes. No.
Stop it. I guess I played a cop on Monk and Flashpoint, I guess. Yeah, that's it.
No, but not playing a cop, just cop shows that you've been in.
Oh, cop shows. NYPD Blue, Law & Order, New York Undercover.
Name dropper.
Yeah.
One character that you did, help me if I got this right. Based on your mom?
Yeah.
Can you explain? Is that touchy or should I go away from
it? I mean, it is touchy, but I was sort of expecting it.
Okay.
You know, I'm not surprised.
Okay.
But early on, I did two episodes on NYPD Blue, and it was probably the first great gig of my acting career. I got to work with Peter Boyle. I got to work with Dennis Franz and Bochco and David Milch, and they were all there, and it was just heaven. And I played a young man who was schizophrenic. And my mom had schizophrenia, and she's been medicated now for maybe 40 years. And it happened shortly after my sister passed, and I was 6 and she was 10, and mom really just never was the same. So she's been medicated a lot, and she had two big episodes, schizophrenic episodes, that I happened to be present for both. I was the guy who had to call my brother, who was a policeman, to come home, and I was the guy the first time who had to wake up my dad. And so her behavior was very much in the forefront of my mind, and so that's how I played this guy. I played him crazy in the park and then medicated. My mom would, when she was over-medicated, she would lose control of her mouth. Hmm. And that was sort of what I had this guy doing in his, when he was in a lucid state. He was, it was because he was medicated. I mean, just an over-medication of sorts.
Yeah. Enrico, forgive me, I don't know this information. Mom and Dad still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
88 and still just, I wouldn't say alive and well, but very much alive, yeah.
So that makes it a little harder for me to ask this, so you can tell me to shut up. But I want to ask about the shame that comes sometimes with schizophrenia, with having a loved one that has schizophrenia, with, you know, having that secret in your closet, that, you know, growing up with it, the whole thing. You know, those are some just tough, tough family dynamics.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Was that a question? I don't think that was a question.
I'm stumbling through it because every family has a secret, every family has baggage, even the most normal families, the teenagers are embarrassed of their parents, period.
Yeah. But you know what? You have kids, right?
Yeah, I got three of them, one of each.
Right? And it wasn't until I had my own kids where I forgave my mother.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was all good, Mom.
Man.
I get it. You lost someone like that. And that's it. And anybody who has a kid, any parent, understands. Some people have. My dad checked out too. He checked out when my sister died. But
see, that's what I was going to ask with that.
But he came back. That was the difference. He came back through prayer, and he and they both for a time went to the charismatic. Part of Catholicism, and they were like singing and praising and doing all that, and that saved my dad.
Come on,
it brought him back. Yeah. Oh, totally. And what really saved him was here. And I just learned this about my father. He for many years he worked at City Hall alone as a night janitor, and when my sister died, there he was picking garbage at night by himself, and in that isolation it just festered.
Right.
So he got out of that job, and then he took a job at Mattel, basically, you know, driving the truck around, and with people healed him. Being social again healed him. That and a combination of going back to church and coming back into the land of the living is what brought him back to me and makes him still very present in my life. They live in Italy now, so, you know, my contact is 10 minutes on a Sunday when we call each other and just tell each other we love each other.
Okay.
But, yeah, totally.
I had no idea I was going to get this.
Oh, sorry, dude. You thought it was going to be all fluffy.
No.
But I knew better.
Okay.
I knew better.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. Your father is Mr. Blue Collar, right, and probably taught you that a man defines himself by what he does, right?
Not in any words, but through action.
Action, exactly.
Yeah.
So when Flashpoint was over,
yeah,
did it hit you? Like, did you struggle with your identity?
I struggle with my identity every time I'm not doing it.
Right.
The minute any job ends, I mourn the loss of that job and that identity. But, you know, and I do want to talk about this because it is my faith that gets me through between jobs. It's between jobs that define who I am to myself more than the work.
Really?
It has to. Well, it has to, because I know the nature of this business. I know how unpredictable it is. I know how blessed I am to be working so steady, but I'm also exhausted by the gifts that I receive. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of mental work. And when it ends, it's a bittersweet moment of like, oh, I'm mourning the loss of a job, but I'm so excited about getting back into myself. Hmm. I'm getting back into a routine, into a ritual. And it includes getting on my knees. It includes reading scripture. It includes all those things that reconnect me to what I love about my life. And then it reinvigorates me and prepares me for the next gig.
Man, I do not like interviewing people that are more spiritually healthy than I am.
I don't know if I'm healthy. It's hard. It's hard, man.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. And I wouldn't even say it's Christian based. I know I'm a Christian. I come from a Catholic family, and I love Jesus. But I don't know if I don't go to church. I haven't been to church consistently in many years.
Yeah.
So it's more of the belief in the positive collective consciousness. If you're in good company, that's going to inspire me, and that's what any good job is: doing a movie with people that are like-minded. If you're putting positive stuff out there, that's God. If your stake is in putting your best forward and not hiding under that rock, that's presence. That's what excites me.
Yeah, I sit back and whinge. I mean, just complain and have daily suck attacks about the lack of tangibility when it comes to God. Like, basically, I sit there and go, seriously, dude, are you real or not? Every day I say that.
Yeah.
And the only tangible thing I can put my hand on is when we're loving on each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's kind of what you're saying. Kind of.
I think that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
When you see somebody and you just know, and you can ask them, do you have faith? And they'll go, no. And I go, well, maybe you do. Hmm. You know what I mean? Because what you're putting out is what it's about. And that's the universal truth, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the golden rule. It's, I'm going to get what I put out there. And people are either doing that or they're not, really. And then you can call that Buddhism, Christianity, Islamism, call it whatever you want.
Have you tried to get our mutual friend Strombo to come over to the light? Because George has whispered in my ear, you know, once he found out I was struggling with the faith stuff, he's like, dude, come over to the dark side, man.
George, you know what? There's an example. I know his background. I know his family background, and I know that he's been exposed to it.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no one closer to looking and smelling like Jesus than his mom.
Yeah.
Maybe not looking. I think she.
Yeah. No. I totally get it.
I think she does electrolysis, but. Well, she's Greek, right? Oh, I'm so in trouble. So in trouble.
That's funny. But what he puts out there, I mean, he's the most generous, loving human being ever.
I hate him.
And he can deny it all he wants. That is the good stuff. You can call it whatever you want. There's no dark side in George Strombolopoulos. What, are you kidding? He's the goods, yeah.
You're Henry Carboy?
Yeah, where'd you go to school?
I just knew a lot of Henry Carr guys from the hockey. I was involved.
Hockey, you're a hockey player.
I was involved with Teen Ranch, and all the Henry Carr guys came up there with Coach Miller.
Yeah, and Coach Miller
and Psycho Dan Cameron. And,
oh man!
And you know, Dan, Coach Miller's daughter Leah is the big star on TV now.
Yep.
Married to the big rock star, and back in the day, the guys were like Gino and Paul Cavallini.
Yeah,
Scott,
all those guys.
Scott Mellenby,
I didn't know any of them. I just remember Pat Flatley. He was in my year, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
So your parents come here from Italy, and they work hard to put food on the table, and then your older brother becomes a cop.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Smarty Pants decides he wants to go be a wise guy and go to U of T and get a degree or something, right?
Yeah.
And then, sure, they can deal with that, sort of.
Yeah.
But then Mr. Big Shot decides he wants to go to New York and then Yale to study this acting stuff.
Yeah.
You must have blew their minds.
Oh, dude, you can't even imagine what I did to them. It rocked their world. They had everybody trying to convince me against it. My friends, relatives that I hadn't heard from in years, and just secretly, after all the toil that my brother went through to try to dissuade me, there was one little moment where he said, "I think you should do it." It was just like, it was as if a dad were hearing him say it. He just sort of whispered it to me, What's really cool about how all that happened is that the minute I set foot in New York, they were all the most supportive people in my life. They couldn't have been more supportive. The minute they saw me doing it, they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's cool.
But that translates into everything, right?
Yeah,
It translates into taking... to jumping, into building something. If you build it, they will come. It's like, how serious are you? How serious are you to jump into that world? Pretty serious. Watch me. Boom. It's like, oh, shit. Awesome. Okay.
Well, you really are Italian, aren't you?
Yeah. Sorry.
You're hilarious.
Sorry, Joe.
You know you get kicked off 100 Huntley Street for this stuff, Hey, was turning 50 weird for you this year?
No.
Okay.
No. How old are you?
Not 50.
No? That could be more or less.
23.
Yeah. No, you sound 23.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You should see me.
Yeah. No, I've seen pictures. I know what you look like.
Creeper. Creeper.
A little bit.
On the...
Can I plug something?
Oh, jeez. Sure.
Can I plug something?
Yeah. What? ShamWow?
Who?
ShamWow.
What's that?
You've never heard of the ShamWow guy?
No, who's the ShamWow? Oh, the ShamWow. Yeah, that guy.
Or the Shticky? Now that he's doing that one? Anyway, What do you got? What do you got? Keychains? Mugs? Bumper stickers?
No, Temecontra Memorial Trust.
We're not there yet, but okay, go ahead.
Oh, you were going to bring it up?
No, I insist.
You said 20 minutes, and I've been yakking for 19.
Well, do you got to go?
No.
Okay, let's keep rolling. Go. Okay. Let's do it now. Let's do 10
minutes.
Forget
it.
Forget about it.
Go back to, we'll talk about it.
No, because I want to bring up a name.
All right.
Jim Bremner. Do you know him?
Yeah, he's magnificent.
I had him on the show a couple of years ago. Almost cried during the interview.
Yeah.
I almost cried.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. Like, let's talk about his life. Let's talk about my other buddy. I don't know if I should mention his name. No, I'm not going to do it. He's on the SWAT team.
Yeah.
Messed up dude. He is a messed up dude.
These guys see things that, we're not surprised when a soldier comes back from war. We can imagine what they're seeing. We don't expect it from the EMS. The firefighter, the policeman. We never think that the stuff they see is as unnatural to witness as what a soldier sees in war. It's not natural to have to hurt somebody.
Well, this is you know, hugely why I want to give you the space to talk about this. Because, look, my background, I grew up in a funeral home. That was the family business. And I saw stuff when I was really young that, you know, to be honest, young guys should never see.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk into homicide and suicide scenes.
I'll bet.
As a teenager, yeah, you shouldn't see that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think you should.
No.
Or at least think it's normal, or at least be told to buck up. And, you know, stiff upper lip and all that stuff. No, acknowledge that it's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. So why Tema?
Well, Flashpoint for the most part.
By the way, we're talking about the Tema Contra Memorial Trust.
Memorial Trust, which also has the name of Heroes Are Human. You might see that, but... It was Flashpoint that reintroduced me to all these guys like Bremner and gave me a different perspective of what my brother did for 30 years and made me put things together, why he retired early, what he doesn't talk about, other guys, other SWAT guys, other policemen, EMS, just so many men and women, nurses, first, 911 operators, meeting all these people and going... It all goes through you guys.
Hmm.
Anything that happens goes through them. And I'm kind of tired of people vilifying them.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets my goat more than... Yeah, is there a bad apple in all of them? Sure.
Hmm.
But to generalize that and to make them something that they're not and forget why they're there... And then when they do their job, to criticize them for it and to judge them for it and to humiliate them for it, that's not okay with me.
No.
It's really not okay. 'Cause it's the same guy who's criticizing them that is calling 911 when they need something.
Exactly. Let's talk about the 2014 Heroes Are Human Cross Canada Tour.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, moving on.
No, I do. I'm kidding.
Stop it.
Vince Savoia, who started the whole charity, is I think it's a great idea. And it's just the grassroots effort to raise awareness. It's what any charity does. It just wants to raise awareness, raise some money so it can keep going and keep helping and educating first responders deal with post-traumatic stress. That's pretty much it. You want to be a police officer, that's fantastic. But before you go in there, I want you to know that this potentially could happen. And if it does happen, there's a system within the system that is there to help you when you need it. Some departments don't have it. Some departments do. We'd like all the departments to acknowledge it as an issue, the way the military is acknowledging it, the way a lot of police departments north of this city are acknowledging it. And so Vince is just going small town to small town, and I think there's going to be music. I think there's going to be food. I think there's going to be people talking, because the people that are coming forward have incredible stories. Incredible stories. They're not saying, hey, man, I hate being a cop. And they're not blaming anybody for what happened to them, or they're not blaming anybody for what happened to them in any department. They're just saying, this happened to me. I got help. It made me better at what I do. There's no stigma. Don't look at me any differently, you people that are in charge, that are running the status quo. Don't look at me any differently. It makes me do my job even better. Because I feel taken care of.
Yeah. Got your back.
I got your back.
Yeah. The 2014 Heroes Are Human Cross Canada Tour begins May 1st, 2014, over a two-month period. I'm planning on visiting 45 towns and cities. And to get more information on this, you want to go to 2014heroestour.ca. 2014heroestour.ca. And let me just throw this out. Peer support and family assistance line. This is important. If this kind of stuff touches your family, 888-288-8036. It's there. 888-288-8036. Military, correctional, emergency workers, the psychological stuff that you guys got to process. And when I say guys, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
Unbelievable.
And it's true. It's just about destroying the stigma, killing the stigma.
Yep.
Within the departments and outside the departments. You know, I think it was Romeo Dallaire that said that we're not broken. You know what I mean? We might be hurt, but we're not broken.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to differentiate that is pretty cool.
There's a guy I just loved having on the show. To have Senator Dallaire, now he's called that now. I've had him a couple times on the show. But to get his story about that just ridiculous junk that went down in Rwanda, that is just insane.
And to see him now.
Oh, yeah. You know, right. There's a guy who was, because of the PTSD, sleeping on park benches, underneath park benches, and cutting himself and on medication. And now he's Senator Romeo Dallaire. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The real reason I wanted to have you on the show is because I wanted to say, well done in the Kennedys as J. Edgar Hoover. Seriously, I love that miniseries. That rocked. You rocked. The real reason to have you on the show is because you've spoken to Julia Roberts.
Are we like 2 degrees of separation now? Or you're 2 degrees?
I can die now. I can die.
You know what? I was just thinking about her the other day.
I was too.
And lovely.
We can't go into that.
She set the bar on how to treat guests. I was so intimidated and shy to be first working with Steven Soderbergh on a film called Full Frontal, and
yeah,
there I was about to do a scene with Ms. Roberts, and she literally came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and introduced herself in such a gracious, loving way.
Oh, she kissed you?
Yeah, no, dude, I never got to kiss her.
Okay. Well, you said a gracious, loving
way. Relax, Tim.
Can you hear him? He's just, dude. It's like working with Rain Man.
Oh, my God.
yeah, definitely Julia Roberts, yeah.
Unbelievable.
He just couldn't stop himself from going, oh.
I know. He does that all the time. It's Tourette's. So listen, before we say goodbye, can we play a quick game with you?
Okay.
Come on, you got Saturday. You're not doing anything. You got nothing.
I got stuff.
You got nothing.
I got stuff.
All right, here we go. You ready? We play a little game on our show called Useless Television Trivia every once in a while.
All right.
We are going to play for you,
yeah,
some theme songs from various cop shows.
Okay.
And we'll see how you do, Mr. I've been in 300 cop shows.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Listen.
Barney Miller.
Oh, my goodness! Are you kidding me?
No. Barney Miller, right?
Dude, that bass line was... Okay, here's the next one.
Yeah, it's a bass line. Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. All right, next one. Next one.
What, CSI or something?
Oh, such a freak.
Well, it's the Who. Come on.
Okay, all right. Next one. This is harder.
Mm-hmm.
This is harder. I don't even think I know this one. Is there a clue, Tim?
Sorry, I clicked on one version. I must have deleted the proper version. This is a reworked version.
Of Starsky and Hutch?
That's right.
Yeah, thank you.
I would have remembered Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, the original with the red Torino.
No, that was SWAT. That was the original.
What's this? What's this?
Jeez.
Michael Douglas. Think Michael Douglas.
Oh, Streets of San Francisco.
Yes!
I wouldn't have gotten that without
yes!
the
Yes! Nice. Are we just about
I wouldn't
done?
Have gotten that.
Oh, here we go.
Hawaii
5-0. Oh! You are a freak.
The easy ones I can hit out of the park.
All right.
Here we go.
Got any more?
Yeah. I'm just
going to have to fast forward a bit. Oh. Is that like Emergency or something?
No.
Poncherello?
No! Is it Chip?
Yes! Oh,
did you know that the commander on that show, his son is Chris Pine, who's now the big famous Star Trek Captain Kirk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Well done, Tim.
Yeah, here we go.
You don't have, like, I thought maybe you'd throw in a Cagney and Lacey or something. Oh, a police squad.
Yes, he got it.
You are a freak. Oh, sorry. Mr. Colin Tony, you're doing very well.
Fun.
All right, next one. Really? Really? Really, you picked that one?
Yeah, of course I had to pick it. Jeez.
Just because he went to Henry Carr doesn't mean he's a complete meathead.
Oh, okay, all right, here we get another one.
All right, last couple here. Yeah. Bring it down.
Charlie's Angel.
Yeah. Okay, you got to pick one, though. Who was your favorite angel?
It was Jacqueline Smith, whoever she
me
was.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, man.
No, totally. Because Farrah was out of my league, and the other one was too butch.
Yeah.
What? Serious?
She was a veteran. No one's ever attracted to a veteran.
No, never. Oh, I don't know this one. You pick another remix?
No, this is the TV theme. You can tell by the instrument.
Oh yeah. Is this BM?
Who?
He's got it.
He's got the tune.
Give him a clue.
Oh, well, police is in the title.
Thanks, Tips.
What's in the title?
Police, he says.
Police.
Is that Police Woman?
No, Police Story.
Oh, Duff, what is that? Okay, last two. He's got a life. Come on.
No, okay, this is the last one.
Okay. A little louder. It sounds like John Tesh. No, he's not going to get this one.
No, wait
Angie
a minute.
Dickinson.
This is Police Woman.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is Police Woman.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
I've always wanted... That's one thing off my bucket list right there. I have always wanted to play useless television trivia cop themes with Enrico Colantoni.
Come on.
Now I can die.
My goodness. Please don't.
Okay. What a pleasure it has been to chat with you. You're a lot nicer than what other people have told me.
Well, now you can defend me.
I will do that to my death.
Yeah.
Enrico.
And me you too, Drew.
Oh, stop. I really want people to go to 2014heroestour.ca. I want you to all check out the Temecontra Memorial Trust. This is obviously a passion for you. You've been their spokesperson for forever, and every time I've heard you speak about this, it's not lip service.
No, like thank you for No, I
enough.
Can talk about it forever, but then I'll just start babbling because it's just forget it. Thank you, Drew. The more people that know about it. You know, it's just not sexy.
No. No, you're right.
I'd
it's
rather
not...
be aware of, like, you know, the animals, and then which is, you know, I love animals, but these are guys protecting us.
You know, if we could just do it the way we sponsor children, you know, sponsor a cop.
Yeah. That's actually funny.
For $35 a month.
Help keep the thin line blue.
Enrico,
we could get Sally Struthers. we could totally do that.
Listen, I hope I provided you with a better interview.
Awesome, man. Tim, you weren't so bad yourself.
Thanks, brother.
Was I better than Brian Linehan?
Brian Linehan, remember that guy?
I didn't make you cry though.
Oh, he got a little weepy.
You didn't know what you made me do because I was hiding it. You made me cry.
All right, buddy. Good to chat, man.
Okay, guys.
Thanks.
I hope I do it again, or we do it again, or something.
Yeah, anytime you need to sell something, flog something, or push something, I'm your dealer.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, man.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Enrico Colantoni on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude's been in a lot of stuff, man. This is a great cop theme.
I had to
this
save
is
it
SWAT,
for the end,
right?
Man. Yeah.
All right, listen, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, Danny Gokey from American Idol. Stay with us.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.